Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We welcome in now all of our radio affiliates. That's right. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia. In for Scotty, 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. And now third down. I'm not a believer anymore, Mafia. Not a believer in the Seahawks as they are trying to run down some time. So the Eagles are going to get the ball back. The question is going to be whether we're going to cover this number, if the Eagles are going to backdoor it or not, Maf. That's what we have cooking here. With 5 minutes to go in the fourth in Philadelphia.
And by the way, you have overtaken me now. I had a little buffering issue. I had to re-get the stream, and you're ahead of me. So I'm still on second down here as Russell Wilson runs and gets tackled like 4 yards behind the line.
So we knew it would happen at some point. There's no way when two people do a show together, whether it's on Sports Grid Radio, on Sports Grid, that the TVs stay in sync the entire time. It's an awful play call on third and 14. And the Eagles are going to get the ball back. They're going to get a chance to... And listen, this is where Peterson, you know, he should have kicked that field goal. He absolutely should have kicked the field goal. I don't know what he was doing. This was an opportunity for them. They could be getting the ball back right now, down 8. Instead, they're still down 11. Just silliness. And now I got to hope that the Seahawk defense, which absolutely stinks, is going to get a big stop here to save this cover before the Eagles go and get the back door. Mafia, we have a lot to do in hour number two. We spent a lot of time on the NFC playoff picture. I think that we need to get involved with some of the AFC teams when we come back. That is going to be a very interesting race. There's a lot of teams in the mix for playoff spots in the AFC. We have a lot of college football that we have not discussed yet. We have the new college football rankings coming tomorrow night. So a lot to do in hour number two, Mafia.
You know, when you go on the Monday show, there's always a lot because you have the NFL, the college football, and then we add in college basketball. I mean, there's just so many storylines always coming out of a sports weekend when you have, you know, the fall season going on. The summer, not so much, but in the fall, always jam-packed.
Seahawks punted. Eagles will get the ball back from their own 11 right here, and we'll see if they could break the hearts of everybody that's got the Seahawks -6.5 or -5.5 here for this game. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. Keep an eye on the end of this game, and we'll get into a little AFC playoff scenarios. Pharrell on the Bench rolls on right after this.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back Frill on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. About 2.5 to go in the fourth quarter. Eagles got pushed back a bit, and now again with the refs have just dominated this game, holding on the offense. They're gonna get pushed back even more. They keep moving backwards. Wow, another hold on number 68 there. So this is gonna be a very long second down for them. They got a long way to go before they can get to the end zone here. Yeah, they're going to be backed up on their own 25 now. Jeez, what a shame that is. So, Moff, we'll keep an eye out for the last couple minutes here. Hurts still standing on the sidelines. He has not been a part of this game in a very, very long time. Little AFC now, Mafia. Let's get to them. Before we get to the playoff stuff with the wild cards, and there's a lot of teams in the mix, right now, and we still have a Steeler game to be played, hopefully on Wednesday. But it seems like, Mafia, the two best teams, not just in the AFC, but are in all of football, and the game that everybody would absolutely love to see right now is Chiefs and Steelers. Steelers are undefeated. Chiefs have one loss. Chiefs are clearly the favorite. They're the defending champs. They have Mahomes, who's just absolutely on fire. He's never out of a game. Win every single week. They do not play in the regular season. They'll most likely be the 1 and 2 seeds in the AFC, so it's going to have to be the AFC title game if it happens. But man, Moff, that is the game right now that if anybody really is zeroing in on that they want to see in the NFL, that's the game right now.
Yeah, absolutely is, especially when you look at all, you know, different things that each team has on both sides of the ball. I mean, the Steelers are known for their defense, obviously, throughout their history, but they got some good players there. But then there's sometimes they just let things up. If you don't, you know, if it's not Watt, or, you know, it's not Fitzpatrick doing their thing. Sometimes the other guys just don't seem to get the job done, and they cost them, but then they'll make a big plays, you know, later on. You got some good pass rushers on the Kansas City side. Then on offense, I mean, obviously we know the Chiefs for their offense. We know for Mahomes. We know for Tyreek Hill. We saw what they did yesterday against Tampa Bay, where I don't know what you're thinking. Everyone was talking about Todd Bowles is, you know, he should get another chance. He deserves another chance. He's a great defensive coach. He just had a bad job with the Jets. Well, what was yesterday? Like, if he's that great a coach, why are you covering Tyreek Hill one-on-one and getting burned over top every single play in the first half? I mean, and then on the other side, Roethlisberger's had a great comeback season after his injury, and Claypool has just come on. I mean, we were talking over the last couple of years about, is Juju number one receiver? Well, doesn't matter if he is, because he's not going to be their number one receiver, because Claypool is just a beast as a rookie getting all these touchdowns. And Juju's had a good season as well, you know, now that some of the attention is taken off of him. You know, he's been a lot more open at times. The running games worked. You have, you know, the number of different running backs you can throw at you in Kansas City that all kind of play similar roles. You have Kelce, of course, who's the best tight end in the game. There's just so many different players on both sides. It'd be an incredible performance to see that happen. But then again, maybe it wouldn't be, because how many times have we said that, you know, the Steelers are a great team, and then they play Kansas City in the playoffs and they absolutely flop. So we might want that game, but I don't know. If you're a Steeler fan, you might want any game but.
Yeah, and you know what I've seen a lot of, like, in the last, like, week or 2 weeks, Mafia, is that the Steelers are, like, a product of, like, their schedule or something. Like, they haven't played anybody really good. Now, to be fair, their cross divisions this year are the NFC East, so we know how bad those teams are. They've played the Eagles, they've played the Giants, they've played the Cowboys. Their cross division in the AFC is the South. So they've played the Jaguars. They have played the Texans. They did beat the Titans. They have not played the Colts yet. Or maybe they did play the Colts. I forget if they played the Colts yet or not, but they do play them. So, you know, they haven't really played great teams. The Titan win is very good, and the Raven win is very good. They play the Ravens again, a very depleted. They're going to play the Ravens without Lamar Jackson, so it's not going to, you know, quote-unquote, count the same. They do go to Buffalo in a couple weeks, but that's been kind of like the knock recently, and I don't believe it. I think the Steelers are really good. Ben's been awesome. Claypool's been awesome. Their defense is maybe the best in the league. So I don't believe that fluff with the Steelers, but that's kind of the stuff people have been trying to sell, you know, the charts and graphs people on the internet, Mafia.
That's something people always try to do, and that's something we see especially in college football. And you really can't fault them. Like, that's what your schedule is. That's where you lined up against. You know, that's what the NFL gave you. They didn't pick their schedules. Not like college where they said, okay, we're going to play, you know, the Sun Belt champion or, you know, the fifth team in, you know, the Missouri Valley as, you know, our non-conference. This is a situation where the NFL says, here's who you play. And you know what? It worked out for them that Ben was hurt last year and they had a crappy schedule because now they have an easier schedule this year with the opponents they match up in some of these games. But, I mean, that is what it is. You can't fault them for that. It worked out to their benefit, and they're taking advantage. There's plenty of times that the teams have lesser opponents, and they let down. You know, if you, again, making the comparison to college, with Kansas City, you know, we were saying last week about how great they looked in their win over Las Vegas, and Las Vegas is a tough team. And then, well, that win doesn't look as good right now because then Las Vegas went to Atlanta and got destroyed. Yeah. So maybe Las Vegas isn't as good as we think they are. And maybe Kansas City's win over them in the last minute is more of, well, why did you let this team hang around instead of what an incredible comeback by you in the last minute and a half? You know, you can do that for any team. You could pick apart their schedule or how they play in certain situations and twist the numbers the way you want. But when it comes down to it, the Steelers are still undefeated. It doesn't matter what your schedule is. You have to win every game, and they have so far. The Chiefs haven't done that. You know, they are the second-best team right now by schedule. And maybe they're the best team talent-wise, but either way, you can't fault the Steelers for what was put in front of them because they're taking care of business, even if it's not the prettiest thing all the time.
No, it's true. And honestly, you just look. I mean, you're right. All these teams, look, the NFL as a whole, it just isn't that good this year for whatever reason, whether it's what happened with no offseason, no training camp, really, no preseason. It's been a crazy, weird year. Like, there are not a lot of even good teams in this league. Like, the bottom half, the bottom third of this league is dreadful this year. Dreadful. So I can kind of understand. You could kind of do that with every team. Remember I told you, did I tell you on Wednesday, I think it was, or where I said, do you know that you believe that the Bills going into week 12 had the most wins against teams with a winning record? Like that, like the Bills, 4, you know, there's not a lot. Every team has the same amount of, you know, if you want to play that schedule game with them, the Chiefs do still have the Dolphins. They still have the Saints. And they have the Broncos this week, the Falcons, and the Chargers. So that Chiefs-Saint game, Mafia, you know, that'll get a lot of hype that week. The Chiefs go to New Orleans December 20th, so about 3 weeks from now. That's the late 4:25 Eastern game. That will be a monster lead-up to that game, especially if Breeze is back. That could be the week he actually comes back. That game will have a ton of juice, Mafia, as a Super Bowl preview.
How many times do we say that this is the game of the week? This is the one. This could be a preview of what we're going to see in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl, right, in the conference championship game. And how many times that actually live up? Because I mean, so many of those games that we've seemed to have hyped up this year have really let us down. You know, the Packers in Tampa, terrible game. You know, Rams in Tampa, terrible game. You've had some that live up to it. Kansas City and, you know, Vegas were a possible matchup in the playoffs. We've had other ones, you know, that we bring up like that, or, you know, I mean, New England and Kansas City, we didn't think of that because New England is just a bad team this year, although they've started to get their stuff together and might come back and make a playoff, you know, spot with the extra playoff team. So, you know, overall, I think there are a lot of games that we hype up so far this year that have been pretty disappointing. And like you said, whether it's just the quality of play isn't the same because of no training camp or the, you know, regulations some of these teams have had because of COVID and things like that, or any other reason that you can make up, it just hasn't lived up. I mean, even this week, the Titans and the Colts, Titans ran them over. The Pittsburgh and the Titans, you know, Pittsburgh controlled that game. It's just every time we seem to get really excited about a game, it seems to be a complete dud.
And they just showed the Seahawks schedule, Mafia, as they're about to close this thing out.
The Eagles did not score. They went for it on 4th and 30. They didn't get it done. Seahawks are running down the clock, so they're going to win this game and cover. So next three games for the Seahawks: home Giants, home Jets, at Washington. Man, Seahawks got a good chance if the Saints slip up to get that top seed in the NFC. If they can continue to play good defense. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia with you. We keep rolling here on a Monday night. Right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The Seahawks are about to finish off the Eagles. It's 23-9. Wentz throws a bit of a Hail Mary here. Oh, and they caught it. Wow. So with 12 seconds left, Mafia, the Eagles get a touchdown here. I'm trying to do some quick math in my head. That gets them down 8. I don't want anything silly here from, this is dangerous here. We don't want anything silly from, Peterson with his going for twos or anything like that. Who caught that in the end? Was that Goddard again? Who's 85 there? Richard Rodgers with the catching the Hail Mary. Did you see that catch he made, Moff?
That was a hell of a catch. That one-handed falling down. That's insane. That's some focus right there. To bail you guy out.
They're going for two. Like, this is, I'm sorry. There is no reason for him to be going two. This is where you know this is fixed stuff right here.
No, when he gets it, that's when you know it's fixed stuff.
Listen, I'm sorry, Mafia. Why is he going, what is he gaining by going for two? What is he gaining?
Nothing.
I'm going to go absolutely ballistic.
If this is the NFL version of all these teams that have kneeled down at the one to kill the games in college.
I'm going to go ballistic right now. If this guy gets this two-point conversion.
I'm going to feel so good about not betting on this game if they get this, because this is the kind of stuff I was worried about. A game where, you know, how many times have we had this season where the Eagles – are getting shellacked. They have no business being in any game or covering the spread, and they come back and backdoor cover you. They did against Baltimore. They did it, I think maybe against the Steelers. But they've done it multiple times this year where I've watched a game that they were getting blown out in, and they come back late and cover for no good reason.
That is absolutely sick. I don't know why he just did that. What did he have to gain by going for two? I don't get it. You would have been down one score. You would have been down 7. I don't understand what happened here. First of all, this guy catches it with one hand. Second of all, why is he going for two? I'm hot right now, Muff. I am hot. That just became, you talk about bad night. Between the Hyde touchdown getting called back, Metcalf getting stopped at the one on the long play, dropping the other one, and now this backdoor garbage from Doug Peterson going for two when he absolutely had no business going for it. I am sick right now. Absolutely sick. Might not play another game. Jeez. This is going to be days. This is like one of these ones where you take days off after this, Mafia. Like, you basically just walk away and you want nothing to do with playing any of these games. Like, losing a game like that is absolutely disgusting. If you have the Seahawks, minus 6.5. Absolutely disgusting, Mafia. I don't know. I don't know what else to say right there. I'm distraught. Wow.
Understandably so. I mean, like you said, there's nothing that factors in whatsoever. It doesn't help them, and they're not going to come back and win this game. I mean, they're going to triumph the onside kick. And they can say, okay, well, yeah, you know, gives us the ability to win with a touchdown, but the probability of getting an onside kick, which they don't in the NFL now, the way they've changed the rules, is pretty much just about none. So it's amazing that he does this. He covers. I mean, it doesn't affect the total, so he only hits one way. But you know, imagine if that was not only the backdoor cover, but also hit the over on that.
Disgusting. I'm going to have to move. I can't even think about this anymore. That's how annoyed I am right now that I just lost that Seahawks minus 6.5 on a one-handed Hail Mary tip catch, followed by an absolutely useless two-point conversion. Doug Peterson officially on the list with me. When you get on the list, it's never good. And Doug Peterson is now, he's on the list after that one. I cannot believe it. All right, Mafia. AFC, Chiefs and Steelers. We talked about the best teams. He's got the curse. Doug Peterson, he's, and when you listen, there's a list. If you are on it, Doug Peterson's on it now. He is on the list after that. Going for two in that spot. I am fuming right now with this. AFC Mafia. We talked about the good teams. And on the other side of that, it seems like the Bills and the Titans are like that next group that's going to win those divisions at this point. The Titans beating the Colts yesterday. That sets them up nice. They've split with them. They're a game ahead now. They have the more, you know, favorable schedule down the stretch. Henry just outstanding right now. If we could put the Bills and the Titans as kind of they're going to win their divisions, they're going to be the 3 and 4 seeds in the AFC. And then you have five teams for three spots. Browns are 8-3. The Colts are 7-4. The Dolphins are 7-4. The Raiders, 6-5. The Ravens are 6-4, possibly 48 hours away from being 6-5, considering what they're going to be bringing to the field in Pittsburgh. This is an interesting race. You've got some teams here like the Browns and the Raiders and the Dolphins who aren't normally in the mix. I think a lot of people are going to be, especially if you're one of those top teams in the Chiefs, Bills, Titans, and Steelers, rooting for the Ravens to somehow get out of it. You don't want to see them in the playoffs. This is a very interesting five teams for three spot situation in the AFC, Mosh.
It absolutely is. Although, you know, with the Ravens, recent playoff history, maybe you do want them in the playoffs. Maybe you do want to play them because it just seems like they collapse once they get there. And who knows what their team's going to, you know, look like as we get down to the wire here, if this is going to affect them any, you know, further way down the season. Because, you know, we could always assume that, hey, you know, put these guys on the COVID list, they're going to rest, they're going to be back, you're going to be okay once they're cleared. But, you know, you don't know. There's especially these big guys, you know, they can cause heart conditions. They can cause long-term effects that we just kind of shrug off because of how some people have recovered easily. It's not that way for everybody, you know, so that we'll see if there are any lasting effects from this by Baltimore. The big thing for me, first of all, before we get to those teams, I want to say, you know, I know you guys were talking about the NFL MVP on Coast to Coast earlier today, and one guy I don't think gets enough love because we always talk about the quarterback so much. It's always quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. It's been a long time since we've given love to the running back position for an MVP trophy, and I think, you know, Derrick Henry should be running away with this. I get how incredible Mahomes has been. I get how good Russell Wilson has been at times, Aaron Rodgers. You know, all these quarterbacks have had some great seasons, and I respect that completely. But if there's one guy on any of these teams that you take him away and that team is nothing, it's Derrick Henry. You know, the defense is good. Tannehill's gotten better. But if you switch him for another running back, you know, even if it's the second best running back behind him, it changes that team. If you switch one of those quarterbacks for another one of those great quarterbacks, it might not be exactly the same, but they're still going to be really damn good, as we see, because they're all up there at the top as the best teams. That guy is just incredible what he's doing, because everyone knows he's getting the ball, and they still can't stop it. We talked last week with India. I was saying, they're not going to be afraid of Tannehill. They got a good defense. They're just going to load the box, and they did. And then what did Tennessee do? They said, all right, you want to put everybody right in the middle? We'll run them on the outside. And then once you decide, okay, we have to put some guys out there and keep them honest, we'll run him right up the middle, right down the gut, and still run right over top of you. I think he should be the NFL MVP going away right now, and he's not going to get even, you know, close to the votes he needs.
I think you're right. I think that he does deserve more love in those conversations, and I think that, you know, it's just the way of the world in the NFL. It just the discussion always goes to the quarterbacks because, you know, they're the most important player on the field, all that stuff. And the last running back to win was AP, what was it, 9-10 years ago when he won with the Vikings. But you're right. He does deserve consideration because take him. What is the true meaning of MVP? And you could say with any quarterback, take them off the team and what's the team's record? Obviously, the Chiefs wouldn't be the same without Mahomes. Obviously, the Packers wouldn't be the same without Rodgers. But he does. Derrick Henry does deserve to be in that conversation because there's nobody else on that team that could do what he does. And honestly, Mafia, I don't think there's any back in the league. I know people like Cook. I know there's a couple other guys that are good backs. Chubb's great in Cleveland. There is nobody at the running back position who does and impacts a game more than Derrick Henry does. And I'm with you. I think he's not going to win, but he should get more consideration than he gets.
Yeah, it's just a shame how they overlook that position. But, I mean, as far as those other teams, it's when you get to some of the mediocre, well, I don't say mediocre, but the, you know, also in contention teams in the AFC, it feels like the same thing when we're talking about the top teams in the NFC where they all have good things. You know, they all have things you can point out and say, that's what you just pointed out, you know, Chubb in Cleveland. And, you know, when he's not there, Hunt's there. You know, they got a great running back tandem. You know, Vegas has a great running back in Jacobs when he's, you know, on top of his game. You have, you know, some of these other guys, you know, the Ravens, obviously, Lamar Jackson is incredible when he is going. And then you have so many things that you look at and say, well, they do this wrong, or they're inconsistent at this, or there's this game they didn't show up. So, you know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a lot about the schedule and injuries and how things work out to see who makes the playoffs. I mean, I still don't trust Phillip Rivers, but that defense has kept him in there. I still think Cleveland, you know, has the best shot of a lot of those teams because of how well they're playing right now, even without OBJ, or maybe because they no longer have OBJ. And then some of those other ones, Vegas, I'm hard to press to believe in now after what they just showed me yesterday in Atlanta.
No, it's true. That's the thing. It's hard for me to trust the Raiders. And the Raiders actually have head-to-head games against a bunch of these teams. They play the Colts and they play the Dolphins. So the Raiders are going to have an opportunity to maybe get in the mix. I think the Browns are in. They're going to get to 10. They've got a couple games left on their schedule that they should win. So I think the Browns are there. And the Ravens have a pretty favorable schedule, but they've got a big COVID mess that they're trying to deal with right now. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. Get into a little college football as the bench rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Trevor High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved as we are heading towards the end here. Hour number two on the bench. Scotty back tomorrow from vacation. He'll be back on Coast to Coast and back on Pharrell on the bench. I'm sure he'll be fired up. Hasn't been in for a while. He's going to have plenty to say. Let me tell you, I'm still just absolutely brutalized. I cannot believe the way that you lose that bet. And look, I had a lot going on there. Had Seahawks -6.5. Had the Carlos Hyde, Dallas Goedert touchdown parlay. And I had the DK Metcalf odds boost touchdown with a Seahawk win. So, Mafia, I mean, it is what it is. It's hard when you lose all these things as crushing as I did. Hyde had a touchdown. They called it back. The pig referees took it off the board because of a hold. So the Hyde touchdown goes. DK Metcalf drops a touchdown on the next play. And then a Hail Mary, tipped Hail Mary that Rodgers catches with one hand, followed up by Doug Peterson, the absolute worst coach in the NFL, deciding to go for two with really no time left on the clock, meant absolutely nothing, goes for two to rip away anybody that had -6.5 for the Seahawks. Now, listen, hopefully you got in early, because I know at the end of last week it was 4.5. I know that for a lot of yesterday or Saturday. You know, Saturday, Sunday was 5.5. So if you had those, God bless you. If you bet the game the day of the game, though, you are crushed right now. And you will not be sending Doug Peterson a Christmas card. I won't be sending him you know, a cupcake for his birthday. He gets absolutely nothing from me, Mafia. He is now on the list permanently for the rest of time being. I will always root and bet against Doug Peterson for what he did to my card tonight and losing that -6.5. I'm upset, Mafia.
Yeah, listen, those are hard games when you have in multiple different ways trying to make it interesting, and none of them work out for you. And they're all, like you said, pretty much they should have been, you know, definitely hits. They were right there. They were guys that, you know, always come through for you. They were guys that, you know, were right there at the goal line and just couldn't get it over to you know, push you over the top there. And then that Peterson one is tough. And like you said, it doesn't matter for anything. It doesn't help them. You're not getting style points for losing by, you know, 6 instead of 7. And the only reason to do that is to burn bettors. And that's the way the NFL has gone. And it's damned if you do, damned if you don't with so many of these NFL games and the way you bet them. Because if you do, you know, a situation like you said earlier in the week, it was 4.5. So if you got that, you're feeling good. But then you have a situation like I had with Denver where you try to get in early in the week because, you know, I was traveling, you know, over the weekend. I was going to be out of state. I couldn't bet legally. Yeah. So I got it in before I left to go down to North Carolina. And I got it in Friday morning. And then Saturday, all of a sudden, you're told, oh, yeah, every quarterback on Denver can't play. And suddenly that +6 that you got doesn't look so good anymore. So you want to wait till game day. And again, with the Steelers, was it -5.5 in the middle of last week with that Raven game before they, you know, push it back? So you're saying, okay, yeah, I liked it then. Now at 10.5, you know, you get double digits now that we're finally going to play this game. You waited for it because of all the issues. Now you probably don't like it. There's no winning formula right now with the NFL because if you do it early, you're getting screwed. If you're doing it late, you're getting screwed. It's just no way of having it work out in your favor, it seems.
Makes me think that Doug Peterson knew what the spread was. Sorry.
Of course.
That's how I'm going to.
He's right by. Makes He's living in South Peterson Jersey, probably.
Knows what the spread was when he sends that crew out there for the 2-point conversion. Just absolutely.
We're not
useless.
Worthy!
Absolutely insane. It really is. College football, Mav, we have not touched upon here tonight. New college football playoff. He made the list, all right.
You just made the list, buddy.
He made the list. Doug Peterson is on the Carver High list forever after that. He is on the list forever for going for that 2-point conversion. I can't blame him for the Hail Mary. It is what it is. But
you've just got to go
two.
Ahead and replace the captain of your brain ship because he's drunk at the wheel.
Disgusting. And it's fixed. He knew what the spread was, Peterson. You're right. Lives in South Jersey. Probably knows. Jeez. That's annoying. College football. Tomorrow night, Mafia, new college football playoff ranking. I'm sure it's going to be the same. Alabama won big. Notre Dame, impressive defensive performance in the second half against North Carolina. Clemson, I think, will still be 3 the way that they handled Pitt, because the team in 4, and that's really where the discussion is going to be, is how the committee, Mafia, is going to treat these teams that are losing games week by week. And Ohio State right now, they lose last week's game, and they are one more lost game away from potentially not playing in the Big Ten title game. And look, do you think that the committee is going to keep them at 4 despite not playing games? I understand they're probably one of the 4 best teams, but they're not playing games right now. Can they be in the top 4?
Of course they can. They're Ohio State. You really think they're going to drop them when if they don't have to? I mean, that's the whole reason why we're, you know, hearing them even talk about how to make up games with them, that we, you know, instead of making the Big Ten title game because they won't have enough games, they're like, oh, well, maybe we'll make it an extra game for them so that they have enough. You know, so even though they don't win the title of the conference, technically, we can still sneak them in the playoffs, because that's exactly what's going to happen by this playoff committee. They are doing everything they can, backdoor working with the Big Ten to say, hey, well, how can you help us out here? What can you do? You know, well, you mentioned earlier on Coast to Coast about how they have to cancel like 12 or 14 games. I bet you they're like pushing them, be like, hey, Warren, what do we got to do here? How can we move some of these off the schedule here to make Ohio State still eligible? Because they want them in there as much as they can. We talked last week about the Pac-12, how they're going to get, you know, shafted out of it because their schedule doesn't play enough games. And then, of course, Oregon loses anyway to just clinch things. But we knew that they weren't going to put the Pac-12 in, even if they played as many as everybody else, because they constantly skipped them out. You know, when the Big 12 was working out the way they were, with all these teams losing and, you know, cannibalizing each other, we knew that they're going to try to sneak in, you know, maybe Notre Dame and Clemson. There are certain things that you, when you see the tea leaves breaking the way they do, you know what the committee is going to do. So we can sit here at this point in the season and say, oh, Ohio State didn't play and they're not going to make the title game. And we know that behind the scenes, the committee is trying to figure out ways of not to get somebody else in there, not to get Cincinnati or BYU or one of these, you know, possibly deserving teams in there, but to make sure Ohio State is still there come January.
No, it's true. And I think that it is probably going to make, you know, if Notre Dame loses to Clemson in that second game, I think that they're going to, unless, we said this last week, unless they get absolutely, you know, waterboarded out of the game and lose by 40 or 50 points, I think Notre Dame's got to be feeling more and more comfortable that as long as they play Clemson tight and it's a good game, and they're going to obviously try to beat them, but if they lose a close game to Clemson in that ACC title game rematch, that they're going to get in. I mean, you just look at all the other chips and all the other pieces on the board around them, and I think that the committee is going to be justified putting both Clemson and Notre Dame in. And the doomsday scenario for the college football playoff committee is if Florida ever beat Alabama in the SEC title game, because they're going to be put with a possible situation where they may have to put two SEC and two ACC, especially if Ohio State doesn't play another game and they don't play in the Big Ten title game. I think that's – and they'll do that before they put Cincinnati. You know, they're going to put those four teams in. But that's a lot of ifs, buts, candies, and nuts for Notre Dame to lose a close game and Florida to beat Alabama. But I think that you could start to see the trend right now. And the interesting thing is going to be if Ohio State misses another game. Because if they do and they don't play in that game, they could actually get a better game going into the final ranking. Because Wisconsin's been declared ineligible for a two. So they might finish as the two. And if Ohio State's the two, they would play each other the same day as the Big Ten title game. And that would be a more marquee matchup than Northwestern and Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely. Although it would be a tough, you know, well, it would probably be a tougher game. It would depend on what Wisconsin's situation is like going into that game, COVID-wise, injury-wise, because they've been decimated as much or more than anybody in college football this year with everything going on. But, I mean, Indiana played them tough. Northwestern's a tough team. I know they faltered once again because, of course, they're never going to, you know, reach that full prosperity. But Wisconsin might not be the easier game. I mean, it might be an easier game, sorry, even though they're the big-name program and, you know, the bigger talents.
No, it's true. And you mentioned the Pac-12. They're finished now. The Ducks and the Beavers splashing around that Friday night fog. No good for the Ducks. They're finished. USC, I got no faith in them. Their game got canceled against Colorado this past weekend. They're now going to play Sunday night. You actually have a Sunday night college football game this week, Mafia. Are you ready for it? USC and Washington State, 9 p.m. Eastern Sunday night. So basically, if the Chiefs are up 20 on the Broncos in the first half, you can flip over to FS1 and you can watch the Trojans and the Cougars to get yourself a taste of Sunday night football, college style. So you, but that game, I think the real story is more than just the best that are going to be in this playoff is the games that get canceled increase more and more. Mafia, they're canceling games before the games that are playing that weekend are done. Like this weekend, there was games going on Saturday, and they were already canceling games for this week coming up. Like, it seems like it's gone from like 10 to 15, and it's going to get to the 15 to 20 range this week in terms of games canceled. They are just trying to sputter to the finish line. Even the bowl games now, Mafia. Pinstripe Bowl done. Sun Bowl done. The bowl games are starting to fall too, and that's going to be very interesting as well.
Well, first of all, I mean, after you get through the first half of the Sunday night football game and it sucks, and you move over to the first half of the USC game, and at halftime that game sucks, what do you watch late night on Sunday if you're a night owl like us? That's the big question that we're going to have. But, I mean, the big thing for me, too, is not only are you seeing how many games of college football are getting canceled and canceled quickly and early, but the people dealing with college football are a lot of the same people dealing with college basketball. And the more college football games get canceled, it makes you, you know, look at them and be like, what were you thinking starting college basketball now? Like, how long before all this is wiped off the board? Because, you know, at least football, I know there's a lot more players involved. And, you know, you do have time indoors, obviously, and in the locker rooms and things like that. But, you know, at least that's an outdoor sport. Now you're shoving all these guys in the gyms, you know, 6-7 days a week to play basketball with probably bad circulation at most of these universities and not the, you know, the, you know, filters that you need to get rid of this virus and things like that. And how's that going to work out for you?
No, it's true. I can't believe in college basketball, like there's teams playing Mafia and like they've got like one case, like Gonzaga played Saturday and it was like, well, they got one guy has got COVID, but we're going to play anyway. Like, I know it's, I don't know if college basketball is as stringent conference to conference as it was in football. Because in football, it was very, like, you're not allowed to go near anybody else in conference. And it seems like college basketball already, like, they're all over the place. Like, Villanova's in the Mohegan Sun bubble for 2 days, and then they're playing over here. Gonzaga's been in, like, three places already in a week. Like, it seems like it's a little more lax on the college basketball side. And it's only a week in, and it just seems like it's going to be a little looser, even though there's a billion games that have been canceled in hoops as well.
Yeah, it seems to be the case. And, you know, some of these coaches obviously spoken out against that. You had Boeheim ripping the system, how they can, you know, play these games when they haven't been practicing. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that are not happy with the way things are going so far, and it's only going to get worse. We know that.
Yeah, it really is. College athletics in a tough spot here. As they get towards the finish line. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia. We had a Seahawk win on Monday Night Football. If you had the -6.5, you are a loser, and you want Doug Peterson to have absolutely nothing good happen to him over the next few weeks, months, and years, etc., because he did you dirty tonight, that's for sure. We will come back and wrap it up here on a Monday night. Pharrell on the Bench rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the Bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879 as I still try to recover from all of the miserable beats tonight in that Eagle-Seahawk game. 23-17 is the final. One touchdown pass for Russell Wilson. 230 yards, 22-31. Wentz had a decent game. Not really. No. 25-45. 215 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Awful pick. One of his touchdowns, the one-handed tipped Hail Mary in the end zone, and the dopey two-point conversion that Peterson went for. So, Seahawks 8-3 now, Mafia. They're in good shape. They're a game back of the Saints for the top seed in the NFC. They're going to have a good chance to get there. There was a lot of college basketball tonight. Your Seton Hall Pirates with a win over Iona and a cover. As always, that is important. And so now we look ahead, Maf, to Wednesday. Steelers and Ravens, the next kind of big event on the calendar here, and we'll see if they can actually play the game.
Yeah, that's the big if. You know, the better bet is not, you know, the spread or the total in the game. Is will it would happen, yes or no? I mean, the NFL seems desperate to get it in and not just push it back because of the way they've delayed, and are even playing it in the middle of the afternoon. Like, that's going to kick off before we even get on the air on Coast to Coast on Wednesday. Yes. So Scott's be watching that Raven game going nuts, you know, the Steeler Raven game going nuts. Sure. I mean, I like the Steelers to begin with. I thought even when they, you know, before the COVID issues, they were the better team. But now, as more and more players have been going out for the Ravens, I don't care. They're getting their running backs back. They're not going to have Lamar Jackson. They're not going to have Andrews. Those are the two best ones that, you know, on the offense for them all this year. They're going to be missing guys on the defense, and they're going to be playing RG3, and he's going to be running for his life. Even though the spread has gotten much bigger than I like, I'm still riding the Steelers in that.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting situation, having Scotty doing Coast to Coast on Wednesday during the Steeler-Raven game, which is a 3:40 kickoff Eastern, because NBC did not want to run into the lighting of the Christmas tree that they have scheduled for nationally at night. So we get a 3:40 Eastern game on Wednesday. Great job, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Moro Casino, America.
Moca Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.